This is a HeadGum Podcast.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
So, it's me, it's Scott, adds it, and the chick who played Hermione in those Wizard Kid movies.
Okay.
Wiz Kids or some shit?
Yes, yes, yes.
The fucking...
The chick?
The babe from it.
Yes.
You know, yes. Semi-babe.
Yes.
So... We're chilling. We're on the San Antonio Riverwalk, and yeah. We're just like philosophizing. Wait, essentially.
In the like tubing? Are you in a tube?
No, we're standing.
Okay. Because you can tube there as well.
Yeah, but we're standing on these like platforms. And we're just philosophizing, kicking it, talking about real shit, deep shit. And I go, you know, I'm kind of leading the discussion. You know, we joke about it, but honestly, and be honest, and that's sort of one of the rules in our discussions, is you do have to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
What would you, no bullshit, what would you actually fucking do for a fucking Klondike bar? And Scott goes, well, I can S my own D.
Wow.
I guess I'd be willing to do that on camera.
On cam?
Even though that might jeopardize my career as playing kind of a nice dad.
Mm-hmm.
And Hermione goes, I would tape that.
That's what she would do for a Klondike bar? She would tape Scott adds it?
No.
Whoa, she's being honest.
She's responding to just like, she's, because I thought.
Are you allowed to, is that one of the rules that you're allowed to sort of diverge like that and go?
She's just, it's still Scott's turn. We're still discussing
okay, well, that's
what he
I'm
would
saying.
Do.
If it's still Scott's turn, then why is Emma? I just don't know.
We're
what the
all
rules
chiming
are.
In on his
okay.
volunteered information, and there's no judgment allowed.
Okay.
And I expected her to go, ew, I don't want to see that. What she said was, I would tape that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I didn't have a Klondike bar with me, but I said, if you did that, I would give you one. And then I said, you know.
Because you have sort of a hosting network for a bunch of cams. Like, you'll have people who will come on cam and, like, do all kinds of different stuff, right?
Yeah, anything from the grotesque to the sublime can be experienced via cam for the right number of tokens. And that's a system that's in place to provide intimacy to those who are shut in.
It's
safe.
There.
It's a safe way to interact with a person who you can see and hear without danger of them touching you, mm-hmm. unless you want to go off the public cam and arrange something. But to me, it's providing a necessary service because there are so many freaks, weirdos, dweebies, dorks, and losers who would otherwise not be able to see a woman
without flailing, mm-hmm. just kind of like lashing out with their
and it's
limbs.
Safe. And it's safe for the people on the other side of the camp,
mm-hmm.
who want to, you know, a lot of these people are natural exhibitionists.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to show
have something
off.
Something they
want to
share.
Mm-hmm. They mm-hmm. want to share, whether it be their body, a special skill, or just a willingness to challenge your concept of what's profane.
But all of your cams are outdoors.
Yes.
What's the thinking behind that?
Just I don't want to have to pay rent on a space.
Mm-hmm. A lot of them look like they're like outside of hotels. It almost looks like you went in to like negotiate a rate to like go in
at
and
the
do
hotel,
a cam video.
Failed to find one I was happy with and said, fuck it, we're going
we're just
anyway.
Do and it just, right outside.
Yeah, and just did it right outside in the lot. A lot of them look that way.
Yes, because you're also doing sometimes like just kind of rolling through different, you know, you'll like set up one shot and it looks like at the end of one cam feed, the last person is leaving and the new one is kind of coming in to, yeah, to you do it. It seems like you might kind of stack them up.
Catch the tail end of another cam performance on the, yeah. Well, look, it's not a perfect system. I didn't say we've got all the bugs out. We haven't ironed out all the kinks. Mm-hmm. But I still think it's noble what we're trying to do,
sure,
and we get pretty damn close, and I think our customers do appreciate it.
And you don't want to iron out all the kink, obviously, because that's like what a lot of people are there for.
Some of it, yeah. Some of what's so rich and fulfilling about the experience is the sort of homemade feel.
Yeah.
You know, when a pie crust is a little more rustic, it's not store-bought, and it's imperfect in these ways that let you know that it comes from a place of love. That's how I feel about the cam sessions.
Hey, welcome to Hollywood Handbook, an insider's guide to kicking butt and dropping names in the red carpet line, back hallways of this industry we call showbiz.
And what up, what up?
And it is an iambic pentameter, like, you know, how the rhythms da-da-da-da-da-da, but that's stage performance, and it has its own language. We want to get into a famous segment that we do. Sometimes we see like a really good looking teaser and we do just like the really quick thing where like, I'm opening up the freezer
and it's cold in there.
Oh, burr, you know, and like
we get in there.
Our teeth are chattering and we'll like physically go inside the freezer and we'll talk about how cold it is. We'll see a lot of cold stuff sometimes, like polar bears or like Santa Claus. And, we've definitely done sled dogs and dead mush and stuff like that before. Yeah. Eskimo.
Snowman from Frozen comes to life. Snowman. And dances with us.
And then we'll like get the freezer, get the freezer.
Jesus,
we're inside the freezer. How could we get the freezer? We'll get the teaser and then
the freezer,
and then we'll take it out of the freezer. Shut the freezer door,
thaw out the teaser
with a hair dryer.
Yeah, and then watch it, listen to it,
then put on the teaser, and we'll talk about it as we
present it to you.
Listen
free of charge,
to it, yes. And the segment's called the Teaser Freezer because of all the cold, freezy elements and stuff. And we're gonna do a segment of that for the movie By the Sea, exciting movie with a lot of
big stars, and you can look at it, and it's. What else did I want to say about it?
Probably something about going to the box office and pointing at the movie and
selecting which movie you're going to see, letting the ticket dispenser know,
choosing a seat with one seat in between.
You like, need more like, than one.
Right. It would have to be more than one seat in between because they can't just leave one loose.
Can't leave one seat.
And that's honestly good because I don't want to be sitting next to, like, a guy.
Two seats apart. No. I need a buffer. You ever go to the movies with your boy and you're, like, in a theater that's not that full and dudes sit right next to you and you got to be like, dude, bro, we need a buffer, dude. It's like, get the seat in the middle. Put that for the popcorn because I don't want you reaching down in my freaking area.
I have the same pillow, honestly, that I use for like if my friend and I are sleeping in the same bed in a hotel room, which is like just nice. It's just nice to have someone there to sort of talk to. If like you sort of just think of something to talk about as you're like going to sleep, but you don't want to like touch them or anything. You just want to be able to talk to them as you're going to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So that you put the pillow in between you guys in the hotel bed.
And that's safe.
Yes. And so if you bring this pillow around, anytime you're in a situation where you would be sitting or lying down next to a guy, you put up this pillow and that's the buffer.
And it's a full-length body pillow. And then what is it with filled with buckwheat?
Yes. It's got really thick. So it's loud. So you don't jostle it during the movie.
Loud as shit.
And it's got like a strong guy on it who's able to like figuratively like buff everyone away from each other. You know, he's strong enough to like hold everyone back. Be like,
yeah. So hey. So just to paint the picture, Hayes is hugging a full length body pillow with a picture of a muscular man on it in order to prevent people from getting the wrong idea about him sharing a movie theater space with a male friend of his.
Because if anyone tried to come up and initiate contact, the strong, I would like push the strong guy at them and it'd be like,
he's your defender,
get out of
isn't
here.
He?
Yes. So we're going to do the teaser. We're doing the pledge drive. It's almost the end of the year. And so we are doing the drive. We're just going to like do the teaser freezer. But this is just something to keep in mind throughout this episode, really.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go into the teaser freezer for By the Sea. So they're walking in to the hotel, and he's writing in the tub, and she looks. I don't know what she's looking at.
Face.
She's smoke.
Smoke with the sunglasses.
By the window with the,
they're
yeah,
walking,
with the glasses. I was going
to
say that.
He's looking at him, too.
Now, if you want to hear some other great content like the teaser freezer we're doing now.
If you're loving this and you want more badass, hilarious content, just like the teaser freezer you've been listening to, make sure you donate to the pledge drive. You could do it all the way up to April 15th or something like that to get the money back on the thing. And I really can't take the time to walk you through it. But if you donate now and you donate big, $3,000 or more, you get a ringtone of Hayes doing the line from that Spencer Pratt rap song that he made, where he said, this is ringtone rap.
And we love doing this stuff for you guys. We love coming in here and seeing all the engineers, and it really is like this great family for us. We would love for you to join our family, become a member today. We have a new system where you can donate your car. You just drive it up, drop it off. It's like the easiest thing. And if you give us your address, we can actually come get it as well. You will have to, I guess, give us a ride to the car, because otherwise we would be leaving our car there.
You do need to bring us to your car so we can drive your car back to our own car.
Because just logistically that would make sense. Because otherwise we would be giving you a car that is better.
We're not trading cars. Yes. We're getting your car. They're back in the same hotel room.
She took, looks like a pill.
Oh, the
clouds.
Big fucking hat.
Walking on the beach.
You know my
bath. Is that the same bathtub?
You're nothing.
Okay, we're having fun in the teaser freezer. We do just want to take a second to talk about the pledge drive.
And for people who hate that we have to cut in and do this pledge drive, and we hear you complain and we realize it is annoying, you want to get back to the teaser freezer. It's so fun. It's so funny. And we know you want to hear more of that. But honestly, the more you donate, the easier it is for us to keep making the show that you love. And if you only want to hear these pledge drives once a year, which we try to only do it once, then you do need to donate. And here's another fun way you can donate. Give us all your clothes. We'll put them on in front of you as a special incentive. And so if you want to see how we look dressed like you, which I know most of you do, please get down to the studio, leave your car here, leave your clothes here. And if you have puppies or kitties, we'll find them a home.
We have a really exciting announcement. All the donations of clothes and cars are going to be matched by Engineer Ryan, who has a lot of clothes that he loves. He's sort of peacocks the way he dresses and things. And he's got all these like pieces that he's just pulled from just like his travels, you know, like very fancy silks.
Yeah, he has this whole philosophy that's like, don't pack, just collect. And
yes.
So every time he goes on a trip, he brings an empty suitcase. And by the time he gets back to the U.S., it's filled with all these exotic pieces of outerwear.
So back to the teaser freezer.
Right.
It's a hotel.
It's dark. I can't even really see what's happening.
It says By the Sea.
It's directed by... Okay.
That was the teaser freezer. We are going to play it again from the beginning. But just before we do that... We do just want to talk about the pledge drive for a second.
One thing that's really important to realize is you can donate your mommy and daddy to us. You just drive them down. And if you don't, if you're not using them, or if you just think that we could make better use of them than you can, we'll put them to work in one of our podcast camps that we've been sort of organizing, where we are generating all the energy for the studio by having people's mommies and daddies walk on a treadmill that's hooked up to this sort of battery.
Put all your clothes on your mommy and daddy. Have your mommy and daddy drive your car to the Earwolf studio.
Puppies and kitties in the back seat.
Puppies and kitties running around safely in the back seat because you don't want them to run under the brakes as mommy's driving the car to the
studio.
Or
scratch daddy's head as he's trying to make a left turn.
But he's wearing all your hats.
Mm-hmm.
And so that could be safe as
Less of a concern, yeah.
So definitely donate your mommies and daddies. And we'll come to your school We will take over your school as a new prize that we're giving out. We'll match your mommy and daddy donation dollar for dollar with a school takeover.
Ryan's been through 9 or 10 adopted families, so he's matching all the mommy and daddy donations because he has a bunch of mommies and daddies to give you back. And we will become principals for a day, and it will be the rockin'est day in your school history, and you'll learn a lot about recycling.
Richie Sambora will show up to do a recycling demonstration.
To riff and do the recycling song, and it's, Hayes knows how it goes, but we sing a pretty badass song about how to save the earth.
Bottles and cans, yes, we cans, put them in the blue bins, because you know it's a sin to take a plastic baggie, and how does it go after that?
It goes, oh, yeah. Where'd you leave off? Take a plastic baggie.
Take a plastic baggie.
Okay, and this is where it gets a little controversial.
Do we just skip that line?
We may want to, just leave that one out.
Especially
but it's telling you not to be
for a school takeover.
Yeah. But anyway, it's a great song, and Richie just shreds the shit out of it, and it's going to be really fun. But let's get back to the beginning of the teaser freezer.
Now so this is the beginning of the trip where they're going to the hotel.
Yeah. They both have expensive sunglasses.
Riding in the bathtub and sitting on the nice chair.
Sometimes.
And smoke by the window. I remember that part.
People looking rich sometimes to me is better than a movie having a story.
Hey, guys, we do want to talk about the pledge drive for one more second.
Hate to cut in, and you love the teaser freezer. You love the funniness that comes out of that, but it doesn't come for free, and unfortunately, we do have expenses. We have a pledge drive going right now. We've raised a lot, but we still need more.
What we're looking for is
a place to crash. We really need somewhere to sort of rest our weary bones. We've been podcasting day and night.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to lie down. If you could somehow give your mommy and daddy the keys to your place, I guess they'll probably be on the keychain they use to drive the car here.
Because the cars are just for us to be able to get to your house, essentially.
Engineer Ryan has an extra bedroom. You can pile in there. In the meantime, we will be staying in your home.
And people have asked, why don't you just pile the clothes up on the back seat and use that as a place to lie down? That just doesn't work. And I want to be wearing the seatbelt in case the car does start moving. And that makes it very uncomfortable. Because if it starts moving while I'm asleep and I don't wake up, that could be very dangerous. And so that is not that's not a helpful pitch.
Hayes and I share a condition where we can't be woken up by jostling. And so if you're just counting on that the motion to cause us to stir awake, you're going to be sorely disappointed, and we will wind up dead. Okay. Now there's some people will talk.
Welcome back to the pledge drive. Please donate your medicine, any kind of medicine that's not too big to swallow, or if you do cut it up beforehand, then we would really appreciate some of your medicine.
And if it's too big to swallow, please just write on the label whether it's safe to stick in somewhere else, and if doing that will get us off and get us the
explain
high
to your,
that we're looking for.
Have your mommies and daddies explain to us how to do it.
Right. Don't write anything down. Teach your mommies and daddies what the medicine is, what it does.
And honestly,
and
have
if
them
it's
tell
an upper
us.
Or a downer.
And have them tell us it's something else to get so to get us to take it or to put it in mac and cheese. Or
yes.
Something.
If they can say that it's a candy or if they can tell us that it's a power pill or something like that that's going to give us superpowers, that would probably make us much more likely to munch on the medicine, which we do need to be healthy boys.
Are we ever going to talk about it?
The beach. They're on the beach. Looks like it might be.
Are we ever going to talk about it?
France.
Remember, he goes, are we ever going to talk about it?
Hey, guys. We do love doing all this content for you, and it is free, and we love that people can listen to it for free.
As funny and exciting as the teaser freezer can be, and we know that you guys are eager to get back to it, and trust me, we are too. We love to make this stuff, but we can't do it for free, and we can't do it if we don't get a bath. So we do need your mommies and daddies to put us in a tub and to wash us up real good. I won't get fresh. I won't touch anything unless I'm invited to. But I do need someone to wash the places I can't reach, and it's got to be your mommy and your daddy.
And people are, I'm sure, asking, are like, what about Howl? Was it that making all this money? It seems like Howl is maybe an aborted project at this point. I'm not sure.
I've been hearing less about it, and I don't know if it went away.
I don't
away.
Think our archives ever went behind the paywall, as far as I know.
I don't know that they ever figured out the infrastructure or if there even is anything. If you go to Howl, it might be like a furniture store website at this point. So if you think that's where we got the money and that we can just buy our own baths with Howl money,
we were hoping to take a lot of nice baths from doing Howl. But now it looks like we will be depending on your kindness in order to have a bath. We will need your mommies and daddies to trick us again into doing it.
They have to say that there's something fun going on in the tub.
Yes.
Maybe that there's a game, or they somehow make it that we're submarine captains.
Yes. Or maybe some of our guys are in trouble. Like, you know, if she took some of our little guys and like put them in the tub, and
if like, I could feel like I'm a hero by getting into the tub, then that's going to go a long way in terms of making me actually stay in there long enough to get clean. It's the perfect.
And it says by the sea.
By the sea, yep.
And I wonder if there's anyone else. Is it just the two of them in the movie, I wonder?
I don't know.
We'll just have to find
no,
out.
No, I saw an old guy in it.
So that was the teaser freezer. We have a great guest today. Mike O'Brien is here.
Promoting his sketch album.
Sketch album. Tasty Radio on Hollywood Handbook.
Hollywood Handbook.
So I'm with Russell Peters on the Alaska cruise, and they stop at all these little, like, old times gold mining villages.
Yeah.
And you go out and you do activities, and they had sort of a pan station, mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm, of course, like, you know, first one to the gold, ready, ready,
rolling up your
go.
Pant legs.
And
yes.
I'm shaking it. And this lady next to me comes up. She's like, I got this big thing.
Oh.
And I'm like excited. I just hear that I'm really excited because I want everyone to do well.
Naturally, yeah. You're always rooting for the underdog.
And it's like rising tide and all that.
Yeah, it lifts all
it means there's gold
guys.
In the it means there's gold in the
them there hills.
In, yes.
Yeah.
In this station. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a river, mm-hmm. but it's designed to sort of simulate a river.
Uh-huh.
But then I see that like most of her body is in my area.
And so it's not really her goal.
Do you know? And they're marked. There are lines marking where you're kind of supposed to.
Oh, no. There's
because
very
if,
clear
everyone could,
yeah.
just run up and down the mm-hmm. thing, it'd be dangerous,
anarchy,
first of all.
Yeah, well, rules are part of what makes it fun.
And so they're like, she's a kid. She wasn't a lady. She was like a little kid.
Uh huh.
I started to get like really fired up, and like Russell is sort of pulling me away.
Well, and it's
I'm overpowering him.
And I just, and I don't want to make too much of a comment, but everyone's now siding with the female in this situation.
Yes, of course.
Which seems to be the way
because
the
now,
wind is blowing.
Yes, with the college stuff. Yes,
and the Broad City and everything.
And so eventually I'm like, you know what? Just fucking pay it forward.
Wow.
You know, I said pay it forward. And I've forgotten that someone had done that for me a while, you know, around when the movie came out.
Hey,
someone had paid it forward to me.
Wait, and so Hayes, you mean that she can't keep it? You told her she can't keep it. She has to give it to someone.
Well, she actually has to do three major favors. If you remember how pay it forward works.
I do.
That, so you booked up her week.
That can't be repaid.
Mm-hmm.
She has to let Jim Caviezel, a homeless guy, live in her garage,
mm-hmm.
is one of them.
Oh, you got to pick them, too.
It has to be the ones from the movie.
Oh, you do those three.
Mm-hmm. She has to set up Kevin Spacey with her mom,
mm-hmm.
but he's got...
So he can finally get it wet.
Because he got all burned up.
Yeah.
One time. And I also called her... I called her something that I didn't think was a racial slur, but afterwards Russell was like, that is a racial slur.
Okay.
But it was for something that is not what she was.
That should be fine,
because
right?
She was like a thing, but she wasn't...
The one thing.
She wasn't the thing that I unknowingly
mm-hmm.
was saying that she was. So I apologize for that, but then I had her pay forward the apology as well.
Wow, what a giant spirit you have. And I didn't think that's mm-hmm. where the story was going. And I yeah. thought you were going to actually, I was nervous that you were going to throttle her.
No.
Or somehow physically assault her in order to get the gold.
Well, I did have all this kind of energy built up, but Russell gave me like a cool marble to sort of play with on the way home.
Oh, right, to kind of anchor your.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. So,
hey!
Welcome
to Hollywood Handbook, an insider's guide to kicking butt and dropping names in the red carpet lineback hallways of this industry we call showbiz.
What up, what up?
I think that's the best one I've ever done.
I loved it, and I think our guest did too, and you've already heard his voice, so why wait to introduce him?
And most people, I don't want to do it again.
Oh, you're going to go over it? Okay, great.
Right?
Yeah. No, it's better than
I should say
it.
Something.
Yeah, just because if anyone's listening, and a lot of people do, they'll know for the future.
And if people...
And you're doing them a favor, Mike.
If people listen to the show beforehand, yeah. I know you didn't, but mm-hmm. if people, I can tell that you didn't because of what you just did.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But if for future guests, if they do listen to the show beforehand, the first initial chat is kind of like for listeners to just kind of anchor themselves with
sort of
Sean
off
and Hayes.
For the guest.
Yes.
A little bit.
You can imagine how confusing that would be. If
absolutely. I mean, in a sense, it's like I hopped over the red carpet stanchion.
Mm-hmm. It's not even in a sense that
it's literally,
that's what you did. It is literally that.
Well, yes. I don't know about
it's
that.
Sort of like, let's say you went to a pornographic theater.
Sure. Sure, yeah,
and
yeah.
You're watching, and you're enjoying in the way that people enjoy themselves in that theater, and suddenly someone spliced in some footage
right.
from, like, Paycheck, which is a pretty good Affleck vehicle.
But it's not what you came to see.
Right,
as.
Right.
It's so not what you see to
So I'm not saying you're bad, Mike. You're Paycheck to me.
Oh, and you're porn to yourself.
Yes, and to many of our listeners.
Yeah, I mean, I would hate that. I know I do go to those theaters a good amount. Haven't figured out a better way to watch my porn, but I drive over to them, get some popcorn, loosen the belt, and watch a film.
How do you handle the drive home?
Just crying.
Okay. Because it's always like sort of uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you Uber pool and they're like, oh, that was a weird place you came out of. And you're like, I don't want to talk, you know, I just.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I need to admit it to myself. Yeah,
they always mm-hmm. want to chat afterwards.
First of all, I'm very out of breath.
Yeah.
Like, that's number one
Take
for me.
Take note of the sweatiness.
Yeah.
Jeeps.
Yeah.
Now, Mike, SNL, you did that.
Plug.
Did you ever meet the host?
I didn't. I had, it was a weird, bad run of 6 years where I just was always going in the room right as he or she had left. Just bad luck. But
timing.
I met a million people who met the host.
Okay. What was that like?
That was cool. That was pretty cool. The girl who had met Poehler is probably my favorite. If I had to pick a favorite.
And you must have been freaking.
You must have been freaking out.
I freaked out.
Yeah.
So sweet. And humble, too. Up. She was like from the makeup department or whatever. And she was like, didn't have a big head about her. She was like, oh, yeah, I met her. Amy's so nice. And I was like, thank you for talking to me. It was super sweet.
You're always afraid that people are going to be like, they seem nice, but they're going to
they say don't divas. Meet your heroes. And I think the reason is that sometimes those makeup department women will have very big heads.
Yes.
And will sort of be like, what's the word for it? Bitches.
Oh, that, yeah.
Just nasty.
I couldn't, yeah.
Yeah, and they'll just be like, sort of like high timing you.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
the magazine.
No. Right, just like big timing you even.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't know if high timing.
Is that a magazine?
Do they all have to be magazines? I guess I don't. I didn't listen to the show.
Well, we know that. But that's so cool that you met the girl who met the host, Michael, and that's some of what we talk about on the show is like, you know, we don't always want to make it about name dropping, right, but are the names of the people we actually know. Sure. So how do we talk about it without doing that? But to go back to SNL for a moment.
Yeah.
Was Green Day ever on when you were there?
Thank you. No.
Okay. Because we're kind of like Green Day.
Wait, you thanked him for asking if Green Day was there because they weren't ever there?
Right. I've been waiting for someone to ask me. It was so weird that they, you know, America Isn't Good came out right during that time, and you'd think they would have toured that. They also had the Broadway version of it.
In New York.
Right. Speaking of the big name drop.
Yeah. What's your favorite track off the Broadway version? Is it Angry About War?
Angry About War is great. I thought Bye Bye Government was also very good. And not on the album. It's only in the Broadway show. So.
Oh, wow.
For me, Suck My Flag is the only song that's really worth turning all the way up on the volume dial.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Well, they recorded it quieter, too.
Yes, that one. So they're whispering it.
Speakers, like, if you turn it all the way up.
Mm-hmm. Don't get my stars and bars stuck in your throat.
Right.
That fucking shit rules.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the album, Mike. What section of...
I'm sorry, the Green Day album or Mike's album?
I was going to talk about Mike's album.
You want to do that now?
Yes.
Okay.
What part of Sam Goody is it in?
You know, if you go back by the bathrooms,
yes,
mm-hmm. there's a bulletin board with a bunch of flyers.
Mm-hmm.
Under that,
sorry, Mike, those are for employees. Those bathrooms.
Oh,
you're not using the Sam Goody bathrooms, right?
I have done that. Yeah. So I guess I'll use this airtime Does this play in Sam Goody's speakers?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm very sorry to the management of Sam Goody for just 10 years of bathroom humiliations, humiliating them.
Okay.
Anyway, it's over by there. It's in between jazz and contemporary jazz. Tough to find.
Between jazz and contemporary jazz.
Okay. And I guess you wanted to talk about sort of the process of putting the album together.
Yes.
And the fact that with these like CDRs, you can only get so much stuff on there.
Right. Mm-hmm. A CDR has a limit of 70 minutes. So the album's 70 minutes long. Mm-hmm. But we recorded, I don't know, a couple hours worth of stuff. So a lot hits the cutting room floor.
Yeah, sure, I guess so. And it must be some good stuff, too.
Some of it, yeah. Oh, there was enough for a whole other album that was as good or better, I'd say.
Oh, wow.
And then weird technical issues and the FCS and everything will come down and say, oh, you can't put this on, you can't say that.
Sure. And how is that different from the FCC?
FCS is the splinter group that's more aggressive. It's run by Anonymous, and you listen to them. I don't worry about it, the FCC as much. That's my dad's censorship, you know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, FCC, I can take on just the way that Howard Stern did.
What
yeah.
did you guys do on the 5th of November? Like, how did you, like, protect yourself this year?
Me personally?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I just got in my tunnel. I dug a little tunnel that I hide in.
Like El Chapo?
Is it like El Chapo? I think mine's nicer.
Do I have that name right? His is... was air-conditioned, I believe, and had a motorcycle track.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you can only fit, like, dirt bikes on it, really. But mine, right. You can get a full badass Harley.
Oh, nice. Yeah, his was a little more like a...
I mean, he calls it a motorcycle track, but like honestly, Mike, they're riding dirt bikes on that thing.
And you don't want to use it because it would be so loud in the tunnel if you turned the motorcycle on, but you can kind of straddle it and walk it with your feet.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of all the way down the tunnel.
Yeah, and I'll build a little ramp, and I'll get onto my fucking Ducati, and I'll just kick my feet up, roll down, and then jump off, and the bike falls over.
That's all in the future you're going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's ideally. Yeah.
So, but how did you protect yourself on November 5th?
November 5th, I have a Colt Defender, which is a handgun, BB gun.
Mm-hmm.
And I loaded her up and sat by the front door with a bottle of whiskey and, you know, come on in and meet your maker, you know, type vibe.
And you're almost begging them to enter.
At that point, yeah, you want to just start picking off guys.
You wish someone would, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I did get a hand BB gun and I just haven't had the guts to... I want to shoot cans in the backyard, and I haven't had the guts to do it. I feel like the neighbors would be like, are you fucking kidding me? You're standing in the backyard shooting a gun. I don't think you can do that in the city, but... And I'd
you
be yelling, it's a BB gun, but I also wouldn't be stopping shooting. I'd be yelling over the shots.
And what would you be yelling?
It's a BB gun.
Yeah, he said that.
Yeah, or the lyrics to...
Sorry.
21 Guns?
Yeah.
I was not listening to you.
I yelled at chorus to suck my flag.
Move, as a revenge move, I wasn't listening because you didn't listen to the show, so I'm not going to listen to you.
Okay.
And we'll see how you like it when people don't listen to you.
It's not fun.
No.
I've learned a lesson.
Yeah.
That's a different kind of paying it forward.
Mm-hmm.
It works both ways.
Yeah, paying it backward.
Mike.
Sue?
Let's play some of your favorite sketches.
The ones you wish you had time for.
That didn't make it, like, we've heard them all, and we have some that we like, and you can, or you can talk about the ones that you like.
I mean, for all the talk about whether I've listened to this show, I'll believe you that you've heard them all. You listen to all the ones on the...
We listen to all the ones on the raw...
Yeah.
Yes, the raw
tape. The Darth Vader is the worst boss in the office, that one.
Yes. Do you want to do that one? I thought that was so funny. It's just
I couldn't believe that one didn't make the cut because that one was crushing me.
I know.
And I almost crashed my fucking Ducati.
I was like, when I thought of it, I was like, that's an office I don't want to work in.
You know? Yes.
No, he's the worst boss in the office.
Yes, he's the worst boss in the office. And that title, too, is just really gets it all out there.
There's a really complicated system.
The structure.
Of, yeah,
the org
management.
Chart.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
So I have five bosses, you know, everyone.
Yeah, one Spider-Man, one's Darth Vader, one's Gandalf.
Right. And
I don't
Spider-Man's
want to say
fine.
Yeah.
He's like a decent boss.
Yeah, he's okay, but he's also kind of a pussy.
Yeah.
Do we want to play that, or do you want to explain, like, sort of where that idea came from?
I want to do a different one.
Okay. Great.
This one was actual... This one we just stole the audio from a gay porn called Construction Island.
Mm-hmm.
And we would just take out the sex parts, and then we just spliced together, and it was a, we don't have to do the whole thing, but it was a 28-minute-long track that's just all the dialogue from Construction
Island. Just
Construction
sort of plot information.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, let's play that. That sounds great.
Cool.
oh, where am I? My plane crashed. What is this place?
Let me help you up there, partner. You're on Construction Island. You're going to have to get a helmet. It's not safe.
Oh, okay. How do I get a... Are you guys going to give me a helmet?
Do we have any extra helmets?
You wish it was that easy. You're going to have to... Hey, you guys, we got 1 hour till that whole building has to be done.
Hand me that wrench.
So, as you could tell in the track, it took less and less flirting for them to get right to the sex parts each time.
There's a cut to a brief moment of silence between two characters.
And on the screen, what you're seeing there is they're shaking hands, and that's their flirtation.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And it's actually a pretty good movie.
Yeah, and it doesn't do well in just the audio. It's mostly visual. I think those guys might have been like Cirque or something too, because they were jumping around.
What is the sound between? Because just from a production standpoint, how people put these things together, you can sort of hear a sound that represents cutting between scenes.
Right.
What is that noise?
That's just, you can't not have that when you cut. That's just technology. That's static, kind of feedbacky, and we haven't found a way around that. And
gosh, I'm learning so much about the audio business.
Yeah.
Engineer Ryan, are you listening?
Let's talk about drive-through prank. I thought.
Oh, yeah.
Drive-through prank was really funny.
Yes.
Was that real?
Yeah.
You actually did that prank?
Yeah. The employee is real.
Okay. The employee is the.
He was a guy just working at Burger King and didn't know we were having some fun.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. And it was you and
it
your buddies, I
me
guess?
It's me and my dad, actually. We're driving. When we drove through, we threw some mics on and we kind of were like, I don't want to give anything away, but we were like, the challenge we gave ourselves, we were like, what's a non-ideal food order?
Okay. Great. Do we want to just play that one?
Yeah, take a listen.
Okay, great.
Welcome to the drive-thru. Can I help you?
Yeah. This is Burger King, right?
Shut up. No.
Oh. Yeah, it is.
Well, no, it's not.
Oh, okay. What is it?
Pizza Hut.
Ah, okay. Well,
do you guys have any pizza? Yeah, almost exclusively.
I think we'll take pretty hungry 25 pizzas. Pizzas, no cheese on those.
Do you have do you have milk? No.
Well then I'd like to speak to a manager.
I'm the manager.
Oh, fuck.
Should we just go?
Nothing, bye.
Okay, this wasn't a phone call.
And we had to go back the next day to get him to do the phone call line again. And he was so confused, but we were like, we were driving away and the engine went over. But he was nice. He did it again. He did six. This is in the phone call, and that's take four.
Oh, wow.
Everything else is real caught audio from just kind of a fun little bit out there day.
So that's it. Okay. So you went back to get him doing that. Take again. I would think you might also go, because it seemed like you went to the wrong restaurant.
Yeah, that was...
And the joke was to order pizza from Burger King. And I could see how you would get crossed up, that you were thinking about pizza, and so you accidentally
went
to...
I think that's how we got crossed up.
To a pizza place.
And then later on, we got home, and we were like, well, we could have messed with him by ordering a burger then. But that right. doing that flip, when you're in the field,
actually doing it,
it's,
yeah.
your heart is pounding. It's hard to
Yeah,
adjust.
Hindsight's 20/20. Yes. I'm sure even the drive-thru guy felt like he could have just said, yeah, it is a Burger King, you know? But but honestly, it's just one of those split-second decisions.
Yes.
And when you make one, you kind of got to stick to your guns.
Yeah. No, I think he did the right thing. People always ask, because it did get leaked, and they always ask me why 25 pizzas, and it seemed to me, like, on the spot, like, way too many, and that made me
God. Harsh. Oh, I see that now. That's pretty wild. And then the no cheese, is that like
right.
Was that just to make it easier for them since they were making so many?
Yeah, because
I think
run out or something.
That was just kind of like, sounds arrogant, but I was kind of like, what would Jim Carrey add to
sure.
the 25 right then? And namaste, that came to me.
Yeah, as far as pranksters are concerned.
Famous, mm-hmm. famous prankster, yeah. He got his start. He was the Jerky Boys, and
sure.
Well, I guess speaking of Jim Carrey, you do have that great sketch where Ace Ventura is in a Yankee Candle shop, just smelling all the candles.
Yeah,
I mean, did we want to hear a piece of that? Because to me, it was so funny.
Yeah, I would definitely listen to some of that. I do remember that I played the candle shop owner, and I can't remember who played Ace.
Right.
But I call that, so.
Yes. Yes, I'm remembering now. It's one of the few sketches that I was in, and I played your buddy, the candle shop junior trainee.
I remember one guy does the sound, just the sound effect of the door opening that's kind of like a little ding-dong.
That's right. I guess maybe we kind of just implied that Ace was there.
Yeah, okay. Oh, or yeah. There's also...
I'm remembering it, I never heard Ace speak.
Wait, actually, As I recall, I think you got your engineer during the record to play Ace Ventura?
That's true.
Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, there was a soundbite that was played, and then we were all reacting to that as if he was talking.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah, so let's just play the clip, yeah.
Right.
Ding dong!
So many candles to organize. I left the place a mess last night.
Oh, yeah, that's no problem, boss.
Thank you. The blue candles are all falling over.
Oh, hang on, boss. I'll help you pick them up.
That guy that just came in has quite a haircut.
Ace Ventura wanders over to the staff member and sniffs his butt as he's bending over to pick up the candle.
Oh, can I help you?
Ace Ventura responds.
Hey. Ace Ventura.
Hello, Ace. Okay, that's quite a name.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but there's no parrots allowed in the candle store.
Oh, sorry. All right, he's gone.
That and the crazy thing about that's not Jim Carrey, actually. That was just
a friend
of mine, yeah.
Whoa.
Wow.
I thought, like, I can't believe he did this sketch album, and that's so cool that you got Jim.
No. Well, what we had talked about having it be actual sound bites from the movie.
Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we found out that my friend just sounds exactly like Ace Ventura.
Well, that's kismet.
Does he do other characters?
Yeah.
What else does he do?
He does Raging Bull. He does a pretty dead-on Bob Dole.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, hence Bob Dole in the Candle Shop also didn't make the album, but a big hit.
Is he the one who did Janet Jackson in that one sketch?
Yes. Yeah, just Janet talking. Yeah, he does a really accurate.
It's her right after the wardrobe malfunction.
Yes.
And it's just sketch is just Janet talking.
Janet.
There are no other voices.
Just Janet.
It's just her. She's alone in her dressing room, and she's kind of like, that didn't go well, you know?
Trying to talk herself into, like, finding a good angle on it, but being like, I think just at the end of the day, this is going to be a problem.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
I would. I would love to hear.
I'd listen to that.
That one. That sounds great.
15, 20 Let's minutes. How long to sketch?
Ryan, can you play that one, please?
Yeah. Uh-oh. That didn't go well. it ends there. Sorry. That was the end of it.
Yeah, that's...
I'm curious about the decision to have Janet Jackson in the clip say that the clip is over.
It's ending, yeah.
And apologize.
That was all in the script, and in looking back, we probably could have taken another pass at it. For one thing, I feel like we should have had her talk more about the outfit. That was definitely the big...
There was a lot there.
Yeah, that seemed to be the richest vein for me in terms of just what the action was.
Right. Right, and then, but what I found when I did a first pass is people after the second line just start yelling, is that it, is that it, is it over, is it going more? And so it's sometimes helpful in a sketch to say, have the character say, and that is the end of it, you know.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, I see that. Can you settle a bet between me and Hayes?
Uh-huh.
When you asked Jim Carrey to not have his parrot in the shop, and then he goes, it's gone, did he eat it?
I don't know who I'm helping with this, but yes, in our mind, the character ate the parrot and like tooted out one feather. And that's all silent.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah,
that's all silent. Yeah. Okay. Because what you're expecting, I guess, is to hear like loud crunching and gulping sounds and then the toot sound and things.
Right.
But no, I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just saying like that is what you are. That's expected.
Well, a lot of that sketch is defying expectations.
Yes.
Because I expected him to say, alrighty then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I expected him to say, let me smell you something.
Right.
Yeah.
I expected him to talk through his rear end.
Yeah. You're probably going to want crunching and then maybe like a very muffled Polly Wanna Cracker, like the parrot's talking in his stomach. Yeah. That's probably actually where that sketch should have been going.
Now, I notice, just looking at some of your other sketches, you have this character, Tollbooth Billy.
Oh, yeah.
Who, he works in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's like taking tolls for things. It sounds a lot like... Tollbooth Willie.
I don't see that at all.
Okay, well, so
Hayes,
this is
I don't see that at all.
And so this
to
is
me,
just what I was asking about.
You.
To me, it reminded me of Tollbooth Willie.
Night and day.
Because, I truly never thought of that.
Oh, that's so interesting. Because
yeah,
they work at, you know, Tollbooth Willie works in Worcester and Tollbooth Billy works in Billerica.
It's like, yeah, right.
Billerica, yeah. And he's and Tollbooth Billy to me is sort of a foul mouthed, you know, asshole.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And Tollbooth Willie, I don't remember what his thing was.
Yeah, I mean, I just remember, like, he would say it was, like, $1.95, I think, was the toll in that one. And Tollbooth Billy's toll is free, which I sort of wonder.
So there's that feels like a really big difference. Yeah, I played it for, like, thousands of people, and no one ever brought up the other one.
No one mentioned that.
And
this
wasn't
$1.95.
It was $1.25.
Oh, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
Just, I mean,
to find,
not to get bogged down in it, but...
Yeah. To find $1.95 at a toll. I thought maybe that was the
dollar joke. $1.25, please. You know, that's sort of the...
Yes, thank you, come again. Yes.
Yeah.
Did you play it for Adam at SNL?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah. I played for him at his house, and I was like, does this ring any dumbbells, you know? And he was like, no.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, think as hard as you can. And I do this with everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he did, and he was quiet for a long time, sipping lemonade. And then he was like, no, nothing. This is new.
Uh-huh.
This is fresh.
Homemade lemonade?
Yeah. I think so.
When he said this is new, this is fresh, was he talking about the lemonade or was he talking about the sketch?
Oh, maybe. And then, because then—
Was he listening to the sketch at that time?
Yeah, but he was also sipping the lemonade.
Okay.
And then I went underwater, and I don't know if he— said and corrected, you know, like the sketch though reminds me a lot of my character.
Yeah,
because I can, I'm like David Blaine, I can hold my breath really long underwater. So I was under a long time, and he went to the bathroom by the time I came back up.
Oh, okay.
So I don't
so
know
you
the
were
context.
Underwater in a place that wasn't a bathroom.
Oh,
like.
I'm sorry. Just the fact that you said you're like David Blaine reminded me of probably my favorite sketch, which was Street Magic Audio.
Oh, yeah.
which just killed me. And if we could just jump in to play a little bit of that.
And by the way, it's the only track where we included the word audio in the title of the track, because they all are. But anyway, yes, yes, yes.
And the .mp3 is in the in the track name as well.
excuse me. I want you to think of a name.
Okay, Bob.
Okay, is that what's written on my arm?
Whoa!
Look inside this thing.
Oh my God! It's a huge other thing.
Here, hold this for a second.
Okay.
It's normal.
Is it gone?
Whoa! Snap!
Oh shit.
Look up there.
Whoa!
All right, peace.
Now, I notice it's when you like show in the liner notes, like who was in that sketch, it's two black guys who are listening to it, but they sound very white the way they're like doing their responses and stuff.
They were doing characters, They didn't. Okay. I think I was like, just be yourselves. And but they have these like kind of nasally white guys that they do that were, they did very accurately.
And they said like, oh shit, and no snap and stuff like that, which was like kind of sort of black sounding things. But
right. But they said them in the weirdest, whitest way ever. Yeah. Yeah. No, when I listen back and I hear the one guy doing oh snap, I'm like, that's how like dorky white people say it. I love it.
Yeah. Initially hearing it before I read the liner notes, I thought it was borderline offensive that white guys were just sort of doing these racially loaded.
Yeah, well, people always...
When you read the lyrics and the...
Yeah, but then I was like, well, I got to see all the lyrics.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, cool, it was black guys just sort of turning it on its head.
Yeah, people are always like, oh, that is a sketch about magic and wonderment, and it's a sketch about race, and it's time we talk about it, you know? And so, but we did cut it from the album.
Yeah,
What was it like working with Chiwi on that?
With
Chiwetel?
EGFR?
Yes. An honor. Scheduling.
Mr. Echo.
Scheduling was not fun. But yeah, the day itself, pretty magical.
Yeah.
But I interrupted you. You were talking about being underwater in a bathroom?
No, he wasn't in a bathroom.
Whoa.
Because Adam Sandler had to go to the bathroom.
There's two different types of underwater that we all learn.
Thank God we're talking about this.
Like grade school things that you're like, you don't retain into adulthood. But there's underwater in a bathroom and underwater not in a bathroom. And, you know, underwater, not in a bathroom, can be like swimming pools and lakes and all those kinds of things. This was what that was. And then underwater in a bathroom is your showers, your tubs, you're washing your face. And
I see.
And then, you know, now you can picture that chart that we all had to.
You do forget that stuff, though, because it's like, when am I ever going to use this?
I know.
You know?
Exactly.
But then it always like comes up and then you're just like, doy, you know.
Oh, right. Of course. I learned this in grade school.
I think it's about training your brain to work in that way so that you're like, am I in the bathroom? Am I not in the bathroom? But you're doing that so fast nowadays that you don't even know you're doing it.
It's all on our phones, too.
Yeah,
I wonder nowadays if kids do.
Well, and these screens, you know, that we bury our heads in, Michael, are supposedly connecting us. And I feel like they're actually putting a barrier up between us and nobody's saying that.
I love that you said that.
It's just fucking insane. There's this one sketch that fucking made me lose my shit, crack up, laugh.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of the old Monty Python days. And I just was like, ooh, we don't see this humor anymore. But it was called Man Puts on Lipstick.
Oh.
And I wonder if we could listen to a couple minutes of that.
Yeah. Do, 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 do. Lipstick. Honey, you around? She's not. Well, I think I'm going to put it on. Seems weird. Okay. Do, 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 putting it on, putting it on, and it's on.
Now, did you really
Get against the fucking wall! Get against the fucking wall!
Whoa, no, 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 no!
I'm gonna blow your fucking head off!
Oh, fuck,
holy shit,
fuck
wait
me.
A second, were you just putting on lipstick?
Oh, yeah!
That's so funny. Hey,
oh,
is your wife around? Could I try that?
No, yeah, give it a go.
Now, why did you have someone interrupt that sketch?
That actually just happened on that day, and we didn't have the editing equipment to remove it. But yeah, so the guy's a diamond thief.
Wait, oh, that's what he is. Okay, because he definitely sounds like some kind of police guy when he's first coming in. Like,
or no, the criminal. 100% he's a criminal.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying the original guy is a diamond thief, and the police have been, you know, watching him for months, and this is the day they barge in, and then then they see the lipstick.
Oh, you're talking about the...
The first guy I thought was maybe a policeman. Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, you thought he would? Oh, yeah. No, yeah. The guy who comes in and says, "Put your hands against the wall." He is a policeman.
Okay.
And then, but you're kind of like, what if the one day they'd planned, you know, these SWAT guys planned forever.
Sure.
And the day they plan, you get in there. The guy's got lipstick on. They know he's married and everything,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
and,
they're, yeah.
And, no, and
they've been tracking.
You can picture maybe that he would want to try it too.
Oh yeah.
Now I think what it sounds
he's
like
got permission. Now.
The guy in the clip was going to ask, "Is did you really put on lipstick for that?"
Yeah,
and I found myself wondering that as well.
Yeah, a guy barged into the studio and asked in the middle, and you know,
but he can see what's happening, so it's harder for me to access what he's going through.
I was turned slightly from him, but yeah, we had to. We did it once without, and it sounds fake if you're,
yeah.
You know? And then a thing you notice when you're actually putting on lipstick is you almost can't do it without doing the little do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah.
And that's why you see women doing that on the train and stuff, and you're like, why are they always singing that song? It just starts to happen. It's the funniest thing. But then I looked over at my friend, who is an actual cop, and we're wearing lipstick in this recording booth. We are.
This is my job, you know what I mean?
The inmates have taken over the assignment. Yeah.
So are you just so fucking baked when you come up with this shit? It's so crazy funny. You must be just chiefing kind buds. Am I right, Michael?
Absolutely, man. Yeah, yeah. That's we go on some pretty crazy trips when we're writing.
It reminds
no
me
doubt.
Of the Cheech and Chong days in their albums. And I go like, these guys must have smoked a whole lid of the green grass.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, totally. I mean... One of the tracks we wrote on acid, one on Molly, and one on marijuana.
Yeah. Oh, now, okay. Your friend's all monster Chiba Hawks, and they just got to have more of the fucking kind buds and chief it.
Yeah. A couple of them are Chiba Hawks for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, you're sparking the... Sparking dubs.
Because
that's so
because the cover of the album, I guess, I sort of get what this is now. It's like you smoking the Washington Monument like a huge fatty.
Yeah, exactly. It's and then there is the whole thing of like, do we need to – should it be rolled in paper or is it just like whatever? And we ended up just going with it and it photoshopped, of course, but with it like it is. And yeah, and I'm smoking.
Oh, you weren't able to smoke the actual Washington Monument?
No. It's in real size, it's like huge. It's like
a building. That makes sense. Because I thought you might be holding it up to your mouth or something.
Yeah.
That would make more sense. But you're kind of standing next to it with a lighter.
right.
Well, it makes sense to me because I saw the Washington Monument like earlier this week and I thought, didn't Michael smoke that already?
No. Okay, it was a photo of it.
A relief.
And that's where the title Abraham Stinkin' comes from. It's like stinky weed.
Stinky skunk weed. And there was that one sketch that just killed me. I couldn't believe it didn't make the album where it was just guys saying that they were high and that essentially was comedy.
Yeah. Yeah. Here, this is a 3-second clip of that.
Sorry, I'm so baked.
I'm baked as well.
It and the thing was, we recorded for like hours, and we were not feeling it at all for the whole time. That may have been not marijuana or something, but
bunk weed.
It might have been. And so we just had to keep saying that and keep saying that, and then editing it was a nightmare. But we found those moments, like you heard.
Somebody sold you the Bama.
Might have, yeah.
That sucks. You got hit with the swag shit.
I think so, yeah. I think that might have been.
Fuck, all stems and seeds and shit.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly, yeah.
Damn.
I think we have time for a couple more follow-ups on that.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Do you want to do those, Sean? Just bang them out?
Well, I would love to, but I see Engineer Ryan chomping at the bit.
Do we have time for him to bang out a couple more follow-ups on the weed discussion? What are we at now?
We're at 46 minutes now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to cut something else earlier?
And most of it, I'd say.
Bang out two more follow-ups?
If there was a different wording or phrase that means weed that, you know, might strike a chord.
And not just weeds, but like being sold.
Well, bunk yeah, weed was I mean, the there's plenty of words that mean weed.
And
but
being hit
just
with the Bama and like all stems and seeds. Just like two
and the
more,
swag shit.
The swag shit. Just like two more of those.
If we have time.
If we have time. Ryan, I see you're
what are we
busy
at now?
Busy at the keyboard. Like, can we make time for this?
Yeah, we're at 47 now.
Okay, now we're at 47.
Mm-hmm.
So if maybe we...
Maybe one even... Well, what do we have time for? If we have time for two, great. If it's one more...
There was that
one
thing
more.
Later when Sean said Cheech and Chong, and it seemed like you thought that Chong was an Asian guy.
Right.
Do mm-hmm. we want to cut that
we
part
did, we definitely...
Because you talked about it for a while, and you did a voice that I'm not sure you're going to want to have... recorded to be like, oh, I thought Chong was one of these, and then you went into a
right,
sort of
and
monologue.
That monologue, what was that, like 8 minutes we could lose on that, maybe?
Mm-hmm, that might give us time for another.
And I don't know if you were like, because I feel bad for stopping you from doing that, but I thought, you know, I just wasn't sure.
Yeah, I didn't, I still feel like it's probably fine. I mean, I don't know. It's kind of a Mickey Rooney inspired. He is, you know, he's fully white.
Okay.
Mickey Rooney is now?
Yeah, yeah. But in
when did that
Breakfast
happen?
At Tiffany's, he gives a performance in an I Am Sam-esque performance.
That, wow.
I was kind of...
I Am Sam is Asian?
No, just like losing yourself in a character that, you know, Oscar.
I think you're thinking of Siam Sam.
Yes. I was thinking of Siam Sam.
And I did sort of come up with almost one more.
Uh-huh.
Or, I mean, I know it
it's
already.
Close,
but
right?
Okay.
But it's not good.
Okay.
But yeah. It's a real one.
I want it to be good like the other ones.
The other ones are great, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, then I'll get back in the tank.
It's just two more, and even six, I think, would be a good number
time.
To have.
Yeah.
And I guess you can talk about, well, Sean's thinking of that. You can talk about where to get your album, you know, Sam Goody and FHM.
Yes.
Musicland.
Coconuts. iTunes.
Is that somebody, the sound of someone,
phone.
Someone, sound of someone buying your album?
Yeah, each time there's a little ding. And it shows a picture of their face as they clicked on it. And it's usually kind of like they're thinking, they're not sure. Like, what? Is it stand-up? It's that face usually.
Yeah.
Furrowed brows.
So what if I said somebody must have broke it off the brick? You know when it's brick weed, when it's just like
yes,
pressed into the – and it's just like
– That's good.
That's, yeah.
Yeah. That's great.
That's
what if I said y'all got hay fever from that ditch weed?
That's great.
These are – yeah. This yeah. is what – exactly, yeah.
I think, yeah. And
I don't think we have time for those, though.
We don't have time?
I think you took a little...
Too long?
Yes, I think you took a little too long.
Okay. Well, what was your phone doing?
I got a text.
From who? Is it somebody I know?
It's from my friend Ben Piner, who's on the album, and it's...
Oh, people are going to be excited for that.
Yeah, yeah, that's... Name drop.
Oops. And, oops, here, let me get that for you. Oh, I hurt my back.
The literal picking up of the drop name.
Leading, yes, yeah. Because it's and it's heavy or something.
Right.
Piner.
Well, we do want to give out the pro version.
Mm. We have to.
And I'll try to think of someone from memory who bought it. Rose Cream, is that someone who's gotten it before?
I don't give a shit.
Okay. Rose user Rose Cream on the forums bought the pro version of our podcast. A lot of great stuff in the package this week that should be getting to you really soon. And you also get an exclusive track from your album, which is another character that your engineer performs really well. And just which one would you like to give to Rose Cream?
What would be fun? Maybe a nosy principal. That might be fun.
Okay, great. And so this is off Mike O'Brien's new sketch comedy album, and it's the Nosy Principal. And that was also very nice of you to include a reference to user Rose Cream in the track. So let's play that right now.
Hey, what are you kids doing? Is that you, Rose Cream?
Bye.
Bye.
Hollywood Handbook is brought to you by Wolf Cool Productions, a subsidiary of Calvin and Hobbes. Ow, baby.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.